From Hollywood, California, and a base in the Central Pacific, Autolite brings you Everything for the Boys, the Command Theater of the Air, starring Mr. Ronald Coleman and his guests for tonight, Ruth Chatterton and Ella Mae Morris. Everything for the Boys is presented by the Electric Autolite Company and its 22 great manufacturing plants. Builders of precision equipment for 35 years. World famous for Autolite spark plugs, batteries, wire, cable, and electrical systems for automotive, aviation, and marine use. Now, here is Mr. Coleman.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Arnold Bennett's famous story, Buried Alive, lately known to moviegoers as Holy Matrimony, occupies our stage tonight. The distinguished actress, Ruth Chatterton, comes from New York to join us on the boards in Arch Obler's clever dramatization. After the curtain falls, two Marines at a base somewhere in the Pacific will talk to us by shortwave, and the popular Ella Mae Morse will be with us too, just to give the boys a mellow bit of jive. And so to the United Nations Armed Forces we dedicate this global half hour.
If you held a solid blank disc of brass in your hand, oh, about 6.5 inches in diameter and about 3/4 inch thick, and I told you it could be stretched, or to use a technical term, drawn, into a complete 76-millimeter shell case 21 inches high, you'd say it was unbelievable. But that's the way the men and women at the Autolite plant in Cincinnati, leaders in this method of manufacture, make shell cases by the thousands. Heavy mechanical and hydraulic presses draw the original blank disc into shape, accurate to within 0.02 inch. Before shipment, these shell cases pass a final inspection table seating 24 measuring and examining experts. They must be accurate, for each case, when loaded, armed, and fired in battle, can represent an enemy tank destroyed. Yes, it's Autolite engineering know-how, all right. Proof again that the name Autolite means precision manufacturing. The play, Holy Matrimony. The place, the London of 1905. It is late at night, and in a darkened bedroom, Mr. Prime Farrell, the greatest English painter of that time, stands by the bedside of his very ill manservant, Henry Leake.
Now, lie quietly. Doctor will be here soon.
I'm sorry, sir.
Don't talk nonsense.
But your first day back in London after all these years, and the decoration for the king tomorrow.
Yes, if there were only some way to escape tomorrow. 25 years of peace and solitude, and I have to return to England to accept this piece of ribbon. Tonight, not a soul in England knows me except for my paintings. But tomorrow... Oh, that must be the doctor. I'll let him in.
Thank you, sir.
Is this Mr. Fowles?
Why, yes, it is. You're the doctor?
Of course.
In here, doctor. I guess he's sleeping.
What seems to be the trouble?
I don't know. We only returned to England yesterday. It was chilly on the ship, you know, after the tropics. He's sleeping, isn't he, doctor?
Not at all. The man's unconscious. Get some hot water. Get brandy. Blankets. This man is dying. Well, we did all we could.
Yes.
Acute double pneumonia. I've rarely seen a case develop so rapidly.
I don't know what I'll do without him. We've been together a long time.
Yeah, tell me, where are Mr. Fowles' relatives to be found?
I beg your pardon?
Mr. Fowles' relatives? They will have to be notified. Hadn't he any?
But Mr. Fowles...
Yeah.
Only a distant cousin, Duncan Fowles, a solicitor, that they hadn't seen each other since they were boys.
His address?
Temple Inn.
I take it, of course, that you were his valet.
His valet? Yes.
I've got to fill out this certificate. Mm-hmm. What was Mr. Fowle's first name?
Priam.
P-R-I-A-M? Priam Fowle. You mean the Priam Fowle, the painter who was to be knighted tomorrow?
Yes.
Well, no. Wait until my wife hears about this.
Tell me, is he very well known in England?
I should say he is.
As well known as John L. Sullivan?
Mm-hmm. Never heard of him.
Well, then, say, as Bernard Shaw.
Mm-hmm. About as well known as that.
I say, that's not bad.
Astounding news. Priam Fowle dies on eve of knighthood.
Death of England's greatest painter.
Sad death of great genius.
Europe is mourning.
Royal family sends regrets.
Priam Fowle to be buried in Westminster Abbey.
Me? Buried in Westminster Abbey? But that's impossible.
What did you say, matey?
Nothing. Just something I read in the papers.
What a crowd.
Most impressive funeral services since Lord Tennyson.
Well, he was a great painter, he was.
The king. Is the king in the abbey yet?
Burying him right next to Charles Dickens, I say.
I beg your pardon. May I get through?
Oh, don't be so heavy.
I beg your pardon. Could I pass by?
Just a minute there. No one is permitted in the abbey for the services without a card. Now stand back, please. Stand back.
By George, I must get in. I will get in. I've a right to see my own funeral. The king. He's here for me. All of them here for me. The coffin. They're bringing the coffin. No, they can't do this. Why, Henry Leake, he's in that coffin, not
quiet,
me.
Man,
they can't
quiet.
Bury Henry Leake in Westminster
Mr.
Abbey.
Hush, please,
they
the
can't
services.
Bury that man here.
But you can't go on like
I
this.
I didn't realize that
now,
the Abbey, all England morning.
Will you, outside, I... out you go. There. And stay out.
Yes, but you can't.
This man in the Abbey creating a disturbance in the middle of the service.
But I had the rights. I...
What's your name?
My name?
Well, you have one, haven't you?
Well, my name is... My name really is...
Oh, Mr. Leake, there you are, Mr. Leake. Is the service over?
Stand aside, madam. This man is under arrest.
Arrest? What nonsense is this?
Well, who is he?
Mr. Priam Follett's valet, of course. It was emotion that overcame the poor man.
Well, sir, Mr. Leake, why didn't you tell me this?
I'm sorry,
Oh, Mr. Leake is a very shy man, that's all.
Yes, 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 of course. Well, you go right along with his ladies. I'm sorry,
Here, Mr. Leake, let me fix your tie.
Come
now, I'm a widow, you know. Now, come along. Mr. Priam Fowle may have his resting place in Westminster Abbey, but I know what you need.
What?
A nice cup of hot tea. Oh, you've a nice laugh, Mr. Leake.
Yeah, by George, I was laughing, wasn't I?
Yes, you were. Everybody laughs here in Putney. You might say laughing's in the air. Oh, you are like your photograph, Mr. Leake.
My photograph? I'm afraid I don't...
This one.
Leake, I sent that to you?
Of course, through the agency. Don't you remember? When I read your employer had died, I just knew you'd be at the services, and you were. So, here we are.
Using my picture, well, he was a little scoundrel.
What? Did you say something?
No. I mean, it's very nice here. And wonderfully quiet, isn't it? Wonderfully. Of the matter is, the Priam Fowle, for all his fame, was not a happy man.
I suppose not, poor creature.
All he wanted, actually, was to paint and to be left alone. But that didn't seem to be possible in London, which he really loved very deeply.
Have some more tea.
Priam Fowle would have loved this.
Well, It all just goes for to show.
And what does it all just go for to show, my dear?
They all said if I wrote to a matrimonial bureau, I'd be cheated.
I beg your pardon?
But I'm not you. If you want to get married, it's no use pretending you don't. There's no shame in wanting to get married. It's sensible and it's normal. And in such a case, a matrimonial bureau is a good, useful thing. You thought so, evidently. And so do I. And I'm sure if anything comes of this, I'll pay the fee with the greatest pleasure. What about you?
This is so sudden.
Henry, are you going on your stroll this morning?
I think so, dear. There's spring in the air. May I kiss you?
Henry married 6 months.
Ah, you're a wonderful woman. And I'm so happy that I've been thinking of painting again.
Oh, no, darling. You're much too old to be climbing up and down ladders. Good evening, Henry. Did you have a nice day?
Wonderful. You know, there's nothing like a summer's day in Putney.
Henry, while you were gone, there were visitors.
Visitors?
Yes. A woman with 5 huge young men. She said you deserted her 25 years ago when you went off to work for Mr. Farr. Did you, Henry?
No, absolutely no.
Oh, that's nice. Now come to supper, Henry.
Yes, what can I do for you?
My card, sir.
Mr. Clive Oxford.
I understand, sir, that you are an artist.
Artist? No, not at all. No.
Wait, look.
Where did you get that painting?
It appears that your wife, Mr. Leake, sold it to that little picture frame maker down the street. The sum was £5.
My wife?
Yes, it appears that the brewery shares or whatever it is from which she gets her income have failed, and she was badly in need of money, but of course you knew that.
Well, no, I didn't. She never... Oh, the poor dear.
Be that as it may, I am here, Mr. Leake, not to offer you the sum of £5 for any further work, but £1,000 per canvas. I have here a check. Here you are, sir.
It's made out in the name of Priam Farr.
But of course, you are Priam Farr. A great artist such as you signs his name with every brushstroke.
Priam Farr is buried in Westminster Abbey.
You are Priam Farr. You see, Mr. Fowle, your wife sold 3 or 4 of the pictures that you've done recently, and I, in turn, thinking that they were Priam Fowle's done before a sudden death, sold them for quite a substantial sum to Lord Brockton.
Oh, what's that got to do with me? You keep your profit and have done with it.
Unfortunately, on the back of one of these canvases, Lord Rockby found a dated stamp of manufacture, which clearly indicates that the picture was painted 2 months after your remains were supposedly interned in Valhalla.
Well, that's your concern, not mine.
My reputation. The reputation of the Oxford Galleries is at stake. His lordship thinks he's been swindled. You must come with me and admit that you are Priam Farr.
Mr. Oxford, all my life I've wanted peace and quiet. And at last I found it here in Putney with a pearl among women. And now my tranquility is to be disturbed by a quarrel between a retail tradesman and Lord Thingamabob about one of my pictures. It doesn't concern me. Good morning.
Then I shall have to bring you into court, Mr. Farr.
Bring me into court?
But Henry, he might, you know.
You've been listening.
Well, naturally.
Here's a perfect Hades of a mess. You don't appear to care who I am.
What does it matter to me who you are, as long as you're you?
Yeah, but me in the witness box.
Henry, it's a good thing you ordered that new suit.
The court will come to order. Proceed with the trial, Mr. Pennington.
Milord and gentlemen, does an impostor, a valet, a servant, rest today in the sacred precincts of the British Valhalla? That is the contention of the defendant. What they would have you believe is that Priam Farr... far from dead, lives today in this very court in the person of a certain mysterious bearded fellow, whom it will be my pleasure to unmask here as a charlatan, a rogue, a swindler, and a grave robber.
Silence in court! Your Honor, as an accredited art expert, I state without reservation that these canvases are from the hand of the master himself, Prime Farl.
Your Honor, as an accredited art expert, I state without reservation that these paintings are obviously the work of a clumsy, stupid amateur.
Now then, madam, tell the court and the jury how you met your husband.
Through a matrimonial agency.
You think that appealing to a matrimonial agency is quite a nice thing to do?
What do you mean by nice?
Oh, womanly, if you prefer.
And do you think that asking a rude and unnecessary question like that is quite the gentlemanly thing to do?
Under what name did this man write to you?
Leek.
Under what name did he marry you?
Leek.
Under what name have you lived with him since that marriage?
Leek.
Then, in your opinion, what is his name?
I won't tell you.
May I ask, madam, why you refuse to answer?
Politeness, I should say.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
I feel, my lord, that it would be a bit impudent of me to say who my husband is, when the whole object of this trial is to decide that for me.
Then, Mr. Duncan Farr, you definitely recognize the man in the casket, the man who was interred in Westminster Abbey, as your cousin Priam Farr?
Definitely. Mr. Duncan Farr, is it not true that you are not on especially good terms with your cousin?
We had one slight tiff, yes.
How long did it last?
About 45 years, I believe.
And did you ever fight with your cousin?
Yes, once. I tore off some of his garments.
Oh. You remember a thing like that?
I remember it very well because... oh, dear.
You must answer that question.
Because that was the first time I saw his moles.
Where were these moles?
Right under his collar, sir. Two of them.
Boy, fast, read about it. Sensation in court. The true Prime Farl is moles.
I bar Prime Farl's moles have day in court.
Mr. Leek.
Mr. Farl, to you, please.
Oh, all right, whatever your name is. Have you any such moles upon your person as Mr. Duncan Farl testifies he saw upon his cousin Priam?
I have.
Then, of course, you will be good enough to show your moles to the court and prove that my client is wrong regarding the swindle and that you are Priam Farl.
I will not.
You have the moles, but you refuse to show them?
Precisely.
May I ask, Mr. Farl, why you assume this obstinate attitude?
Because, my lord, my fellow citizens here assembled want me to convince them that I am a great artist by taking my collar off. I won't do it. I simply will not do it. It's too English. I let them look at my work. That's all the proof they'll get. My neck isn't going to help. Supposing, my lord, these moles were not on my neck. Supposing they...
Excuse me, please. The court is adjourned until the same hour tomorrow morning.
I far read all about it. Lloyd's of London offered 2-1, no moles.
American claims record, 105 moles.
You claim then, Mrs. Leek, that as his first wife, you married Henry Leek on June 12th, 1875.
Just the way it says on the license.
Now, think well, my dear first Mrs. Leek. Had he any, say, moles?
Where?
Anywhere.
No.
Silence in court!
Now then, Mrs. Alice Leek.
Mrs. Priam Farr.
All right, Mrs. Priam Farr. What is it you wanted to tell the court?
I wanted to say that I, for one, have had quite enough of this day. I mean week in court. Priam, come. Priam, Come here, dear.
My lord, on behalf of my client, Lord Rockby, I must protest against such a regular procedure.
Oh, don't be a stick. Priam, loosen your collar.
Alice, no.
Hold still, dear.
Alice.
Do you want to spend the rest of your life in courtroom?
Just
loosen your tie a bit.
The artist is always beaten.
There you are, Your Honor. Look fast, because he's very shy, you know.
Moles. Two moles.
You know, Henry, Tom, I've never been in Westminster Abbey before.
I was, once.
I do hope we can find the tomb. The boat won't wait for us.
I know. Look, Alice.
What?
There it is.
Priam Fall, born 18, died 1905. Beloved artist of the British people.
By Jove.
I like that. I do think that's nice.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not there.
And so am I. Now, Harry, love, our boat is waiting. We've a bit of living to do.
I know, but do you mind if I stand and look at my tombstone a moment longer?
Go ahead, enjoy yourself.
Alice?
Yes?
I wonder what they'll do with me the next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard Mr. Ronald Coleman and his guest, Miss Ruth Chatterton, in Holy Matrimony, from the story by Arnold Bennett. The play was written and directed by Art Jobler, with a musical score by Gordon Jenkins. While Mr. Coleman, Miss Chatterton, and Ella Mae Morse await that call from overseas, a thought for you. There are no two ways about it. Your present car must last for many months to come. Having it checked regularly by a reputable mechanic, your car dealer, or any one of the thousands of Autolite service stations is your best insurance against trouble. They know what to do to keep your car rolling. For example, you've probably never heard of a voltage regulator. Well, it regulates the flow of current delivered to the battery and the electrical system from the generator. Now, it's important that the voltage regulator operate with efficiency and accuracy. Failure may result in both a ruined battery and generator. Have the entire electrical lifeline in your car checked this week. If the voltage regulator, distributor, spark plugs, battery, generator, or any other units are faulty, have them replaced with Autolite equipment. More than half of America's car manufacturers specify Autolite units as equipment in the mighty fighting vehicles they are building. Remember, the name Autolite means precision manufacturing.
Well, Ruth, in a moment we should be getting through to an advanced base in the Pacific.
Fine, Ronnie.
There's one thing about the Marines. They know what they want and they get it. For instance, these boys made a special request for a young singer who is breaking all records. Or perhaps I should say making records. For her records are breaking records.
You sound like a record yourself, Ronnie.
Well, she's going to join us tonight in our shortwave chat. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ella Mae Morse. Greetings, Ella.
Hi, Dick.
Ella, this is Ruth.
Good evening, Miss Chatterton.
Just chuck the chatter and call me Chick.
Well, all right.
Mr. Coleman, the circuit is through now.
Thank you. All right, Ruth and Ella, put on your earphones and we'll fly through the air with the greatest of ease. This is Ronald Coleman, Ruth Chatterton, and Ella Mae Morse calling a base somewhere in the Pacific. This is Hollywood calling. Come in, boys.
Okay, Hollywood. Sergeant Michael Stallone speaking.
And Private First Class Dick Dickey. Holding up the sergeant.
Hello, men.
Hello, boys.
Is that Miss Chatterton?
Yes, it is, and greetings to you.
Hiya, Cap.
Well, Ella Mae Morse. I know that voice.
Well, men, you'll hear that voice again in a moment. But first, some messages from home. Mike, we phoned your mother in Binghamton to New York.
And as you know, she's working hard in the factory making heavy flying suits for aviators.
You know, Miss Chatterton, there's 10 of us kids, and we're scattered all around now. But Mom carries on like a real soldier. I mean, a real Marine.
We called your wife in Kinston, North Carolina, too.
She sends you her love, and she's awfully proud of that Purple Heart you won and sent to her.
Swell. Listen, Virginia, honey. And Mom, my injuries are coming along okay, and I feel great.
They'll be happy to hear that, Mike. And you, Dick Dickey, are you by any chance related to Bill Dickey, the famous Yankee baseball catcher?
No, Mr. Coleman. But believe me, it's a dream of mine that I've always wanted Bill to be my catcher.
Dick's quite a pitcher himself. He tried out with the Boston Red Sox and Braves before he joined up.
Yeah, we heard about that.
And Dick, here's today's box scores of your two favorite teams straight from the newsroom. Boston Braves 6, Brooklyn Dodgers 7.
Oh.
and the Boston Red Sox 2, Washington Senators 5.
Oh, well, thanks for the news anyway.
Oh, Dick, we got in touch with your mother in Boston, and she's well, and she sends her love.
Oh, that's great. Mom is a sergeant in the Massachusetts Defense Corps herself, so the Dickies are all in there pitching.
And if I can pitch in here now, are you still there, Miss Morris?
Right here, man.
Then will you all give, Morris?
As long as I live, I'll give, man. And fellas, it's right off the griddle. It's called Milkman. Keep those bottles quiet. Gordy, will you make some noise?
Milkman, keep those bottles quiet. Can't use that jive on my milk diet. So milkman, keep those bottles quiet. I've been jumping on the swing chair all night, working on a bomber. All right, now I'm beat right down to the side. Gotta get myself some rice tonight. So milkman, keep those bottles quiet. Milkman, stop that great ain't right. Cut out if you can't lullaby it. Oh, milkman, keep those bottles quiet. I've been knocking out a fast tank all day, turning off a quota. Okay, boy, you blast my wig with a swing. And I've got to get those 40 wings. So, milkman, keep those bottles quiet. The riveter, I don't mind it, cause the man with the whiskers has a rope behind it, but I can't keep punching with the victory crew when you're making me punch you with that bottle move. Now I wanna give my all if I'm gonna give it, but I gotta get my shut eye if I'm gonna rivet. So pay loud, but with that milk mirage, cause it's unpatriotic, it's a single dodge bang, knocking out a fat tank all day, turning off my quarters. Okay, boy, you blast my wig with a swing. And I've got to catch my body away. So, milkman, keep those bottles quiet. Ooh, milkman, keep those bottles quiet. Ooh,
quiet!
Why don't you cut on out? Keep those bottles quiet.
How did you like that, men?
Solid, man. Just solid.
Right over the right field fence.
You mean Ella rocked the joint?
Or flipped her lid? It was a delight to render a few musical phrases for such an articulate audience.
It was great in any language, Miss Moore.
Look, when we talk about greats, let's talk about the Marines.
All right, you are, Ella.
Time's up, Mr. Coleman.
Well, time's up, men.
Gee, thanks very much, Mr. Coleman. Goodbye.
Good night, boy.
Good night, all of you, and you, Mom and Virginia.
Good night, men.
Good night, and God bless you.